Good morning. It's fine, brisk Sunday morning outside. Just a couple of brief announcements. First, there's no youth group today. And secondly, the few candidates for teaching positions will be interviewed this week for our school teaching positions that are still open. And we're going to go ahead and announce a special voters meeting for the 29th. This month, so we're going to have that on, anticipating we find an appropriate candidate and ready to move forward with that. So I want to make that announcement. And I think, and I'm not sure if I'm, there's Mrs. Reyes after service. I think she had an announcement about the track team, right? All right. So those are some things, but those are the announcements we have for us this morning. And we will now turn our hearts and minds to things of the Lord with the singing of our opening hymn, Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, May 22nd, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Terry Biggs. Ron and Lana Goldhammer are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God and thankfulness for His many blessings. The Clem family is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Quentin's sixth baptismal birthday today. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 556, stanzas 1 through 5. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Hymn 556, stanzas 1 through 5, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for to judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. seated for the reading. The first reading for this, the sixth Sunday of Easter, is from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. After she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the conclusion?
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What does this mean?
This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven, and are heard by Him. For He Himself has commanded us to pray in this way, and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so.
The epistle reading from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Then came one of the seven angels, who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, if any children would like to come forward for a children's message, they may do so at this time. Little sis comes down. What do you think? Okay. All right. So just by chance, Addie, can you tell me what two colors are in the flowers up there?
White and purple.
White and purple. And what color is the thing holding up your sister's ponytail? Is that purple too? That's kind of purple. I think it's kind of purple. Do you think it's kind of purple? No, I'm going with purple. I'm going with purple. There's no purple over here on this side of the house, is there? No purple going on. But we did hear about purple in one of our readings today. We heard about the purple that was sold by the lady named Lydia. And Lydia was from the city of Thyatira. If we listen to our reading for today, our second reading, she was a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. Now, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke headed out to Philippi into Macedonia, this place called Macedonia, because there was a vision of a man of Macedonia telling them, "We want to hear about Jesus. We want to hear the words about Jesus." So they got on a ship, and they went a couple trips on a ship, and they went to Macedonia and ended up in the city of Philippi. And when they were in the city, they went to a place out by the river. Apparently there was no synagogue in the city, so people met outside to pray on the Sabbath day. And they met a lady named Lydia. And she was a businesswoman. She sold purple cloth. Now, that seems absolutely kind of normal. Do you know what's different about purple cloth? It's expensive. In those days, it was expensive. If I understand this right, okay, they had to go out into the sea and get a certain clam, like a mollusk. And then they had to dry it out and crush it up. And it was very, very expensive to make the color purple. And so we can probably guess that Lydia, in addition to being a businesswoman, was a very wealthy person also. And people probably knew her as that. The seller of purple. Oh, there goes Lydia. She owns that purple selling business. There goes Lydia. She owns that. As a matter of fact, in honor of what Lydia, our Lutheran Women's Missionary League, what their color is, right? It's purple. Right, the ladies of the Women's Missionary League and the work they do, they wear the color purple also because they have listened to the Word of God and they have paid attention to the Word of God and want to preach and tell about Jesus just like Lydia did. Well, Lydia listened to what Paul had to say, and Lydia was baptized by Paul, and she said, not just me, but my entire family, so that the whole family became believers in Jesus Christ. Just like your whole family's believers in Jesus Christ, and your family's believers in Jesus Christ, and your family's believers in Jesus Christ, your family's baptized, your family's baptized, your family's baptized, all together, believers in Jesus Christ. And that was the important thing, that Lydia came to have faith that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And that is very important. And then she asked Paul, as a side note, and his companions to spend some time in her house, and she showed Christian hospitality to them. And that's a very important part of being a Christian, that we show hospitality and kindness to other people, and we're nice to them and help them out when they need help in many and varied different ways. I wonder, then, when people saw Lydia from there on out, if they didn't say, instead of there goes Lydia, the seller of purple, perhaps they said, there goes Lydia, she's a follower of Jesus. And it is our hope that when people see us also, they're able to say, there goes so-and-so's family. They are followers of Jesus. And may we all, no matter what our profession is, aim to be followers of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for recording in the Holy Bible the example of Lydia, who listened to your word proclaimed, who believed through the Holy Spirit your word that was proclaimed, who desired baptism for the forgiveness of her sins, who rose a follower of Jesus Christ. May we also desire those same things that Lydia did, and may they be accomplished among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming down. If you would, you can go head on back to your families, and we're going to continue singing of our next hymn, Jerusalem the Golden. I heard this sung at a funeral once, and wow, it's pretty powerful. Jerusalem the Golden.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 672, Jerusalem the Golden. Hymn number 672 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text of this morning from today's gospel reading, "In this world you will have trouble. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading today, we have the disciples faced with two types of trials and obstacles that is laid out before them. And in the life of a Christian, you face two types of trials and obstacles. I don't know if it's two types, but two categories maybe. That's what we want to say, or that's the word that we're looking for. There are the issues we have simply because we're alive. We do live in this world. These are the things that are common to all people. We face sickness and tragedy, hunger and need, negative stressors. There's conflict at work, conflict in the home, all kinds of things. You can name it. And these are things that come because, well, we live in this world and it's just the way that it is. And then there are the issues that we face that come specifically because you are a Christian. There are certain things that you may face precisely because you confess the name of Jesus Christ and you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and that you trust the words of the Holy Scripture, the Bible, as they are written down and recorded for us. And in both of these types of trials and tribulations, we raise our prayers to the Father. And as Jesus tells the disciples, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you." Now, we understand that to be true. However, what we also understand is that faith only asks that which is in accord with the Father's will. So we are not going to treat God the Father as Aladdin's magic lamp or the genie in the bottle or anything like that. We desire to pray according to God's will, which means no selfish prayer would rise from our innermost being. We ought only to ask for those things which would glorify our God. Faith then trusts that God will do what is best for us. And that's what we do when we pray. We pray according to Jesus' name and according to God's will, trusting implicitly that what God does, he will do for our benefit and for our good. Sometimes we like it, and sometimes it's smooth and easy, and sometimes we may not like it, but it is what is the best for us. We do remember that the writer of the book of Hebrews states regarding faith, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things that we don't see yet." It's like Abraham, who obeyed when he was called to a place where he was to go to receive his inheritance. And the scripture tells us, and he went, having absolutely no idea where he was going, but he went. And this same Abraham offered up as a sacrifice his own son, Isaac, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." Abraham considered that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. And the book of Hebrews tells us he did this figuratively. But with Jesus, he was raised from the dead quite literally. A very literal resurrection. In Hebrews chapter 5, we find written, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence." You might think that means Jesus got to avoid the cross. It doesn't mean that he avoided the cross, but what does it mean? It means that Jesus did die, and yet he trusted his Father would bring him through death into the new life, which is exactly what God the Father did, brought Jesus through his death on the cross to the resurrection. This is the same that is true for you and I. So we trust too in all of our prayers that God the Father will bring us through death into resurrection unto new life. This is the same prayer that you and I have. Those are the types of earthly trials that we face, that we pray that God would bring them through to us, normal human trials. The other trials we face and we might face are trials for being a Christian. In the world, this world, says Jesus, you will have tribulation. A synonym for tribulation might be anguish. You will have anguish because you are a Christian and you bear the name of Jesus Christ. And by saying world here, what does Jesus mean? Jesus means the people and the ways of life that are especially hostile to God. They will bear animosity to you because you have the name of the Lord on you. They are opposed to God. Therefore, we must be prepared. When we stand firm on the person and the work of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Holy Bible, that there may be problems that come into our lives because of that confession of faith. Now, this is not the general suffering that comes from normal stressors like bills and health. We are to remember that this is suffering because of the name and the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And the moral stand we take, because we do have confidence that there is an authority that is outside of ourselves. There is a Creator to whom we are answerable to. Jesus has already told His disciples, and that means us by extension. You remember Jesus pulled them off to the side and said, you know, if the world hates you, I want you to remember something. He said, I want you to remember that it hated me before it hated you. Right? And he goes on to tell his disciples, now you keep in mind and realize how the world treated the master, and you be fully aware that the servants should expect to be treated no better than the master is treated. The world, right, means all that is hostile and full of animosity to Christ in the Bible. The world, that which is driven by the old Adam, the world desires to be its own God. It's a throwback to what the devil said in the Garden of Eden. You shall be God! When you tell the world it can't be God, that there is a God that is the one true God, the world gets angry. The world rebels against that because the world wants to have no God but itself. There are those in our culture today who are the worshipers of death, be it in the womb or the extinguishing of the life of the old and infirm. And make no doubt about it, that is demonically inspired. And these individuals, many of them would exercise all of their animosity towards Christ and the truth of Christianity. The worldlings and the worldly hate all who believe and trust in Jesus. Did these same type of people persecute Jesus? Most certainly these same types of people persecuted Jesus. As this is so, those of like mind today will persecute Jesus' disciples all on account of the Word of God. And so because of that Word and because of the name that we bear, we can be expected to take it on the chin every once in a while, to be laughed at, to be mocked, to be called names, to be put down because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Right? We might be called to do those things. And we need to remember, smack dab in the middle of persecutions for your faith, we should remember the example of the apostles when they were imprisoned for proclaiming Christ. What does it say in the books, the book of Acts? Is that they called the apostles in, that is the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership, and had them flogged, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. And the apostles left the Sanhedrin, and what? Went and hid in their houses? Not this time. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name. This is recorded for us so that when we face persecutions and trials for the name of Christ, we might also rejoice for being counted worthy to suffer for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. When they ran up against their own government and the Word of Christ, then they had to make a choice, and their choice was to obey God rather than men. And when they were commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus, they obeyed God and continued to proclaim Christ as Messiah and Savior. How did these early disciples, how did these apostles have such peace and courage in their heart? How did that happen? They believed that Jesus is God in the flesh and that Jesus has overcome the world. Look, once these same men abandoned Jesus, right? They left Jesus alone to face death. And these same men had all the anxiety that comes from being a deserter and a coward. They had the accusations of Satan in their ears. And then what happens? The resurrected Jesus appears to them. And what does Jesus say to them? He shows them his hands and his sides and he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And what is this peace? It is the peace of forgiveness. It is the peace of knowing that by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. It is the peace of knowing that you have been made right with God the Father. It is the peace of knowing that you have eternal life based on what Jesus Christ has done for you and on your behalf. Knowing that because of the work of Jesus, sin, death, hell, and the devil have all been overcome, crushed, put under his feet, and that they now have absolutely no power over you. You have been made right with God. Jesus bids his disciples then, do this. Go out with courage, firm in trouble. Is it easy to do? Not always. Are they going to be afraid? Yes, they will. Sometimes they will be afraid. Certainly they would be, for who would not be a little bit afraid when facing accusations and fears and turmoils, right, and persecution? But in the face of that, the 12 knew, the disciples of Jesus knew, and we by extension also know that no matter what the world can throw at us, we have peace with God. The world's hatred can generate within us feelings of anxiety and trouble and fear and depression. The Christian, through faith in Christ, can endure the world's ire and the world's hate. And Jesus tells us why. He gives us the reason that we as a church body and we as individuals can face tribulation. He has overcome the world. Just as St. Paul writes in the book of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death. All day long we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, says Paul. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the past nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus himself gives us the very reason why we can stand firm for him and with him. He tells you, he says, I have conquered the world. I, the divine Lord to whom you belong, have overcome the vitriol, the animus, the hatred of the world. Jesus has conquered. He has overcome the worldly and all of their rage and hatred. Can't change that fact that Jesus Christ is the victor. Jesus has torn down Satan's kingdom. The scripture tells us the ruler of this world has already been judged and he is cast out, and Jesus has gotten the victory. We are in Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Therefore, faith in Jesus Christ is victory over the world. Full joy and peace shall fill your hearts as you come to realize that Jesus has overcome the world. As it is written, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. In the name of God's Son and the life that Jesus brings, amen. And that thou may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for our prayers. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you have overcome all that has stood against you, and you have made peace with the Father through the sacrifice of the cross. As we on our part battle the world and its servants, grant that we be of good cheer, for come what may upon our mortal frame, we believe that you will grant us the resurrection, immortality, that life which is an everlasting life, and in that faith we ask you, give us courage. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus. In his name we cast our burdens upon you. Give comfort to Joyce Leisman and her family as they mourn the death of Joyce's brother, Dean Franz. Comfort Joyce with the waters of baptism and trust in your promises. We also pray for all the sick, all of those who are undergoing physical rehabilitation so that they may return home, those who are recovering from surgery, and those who are enduring the afflictions of the body. May they each be in prayer and seek to glorify you in all things. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you give the government the sword to protect the population. Accordingly, it is fitting that we ask you to guard, watch, protect the bodies and the souls of the members of our armed forces and those who serve in law enforcement, so that each may serve honorably and faithfully and give glory to your name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, hear us as we ask for your intervention and watching over of our nation, especially as the Supreme Court decision is anticipated possibly this week and the violence that may attend it. We in these United States have a seeming inability to act civilly in our discourse and a self-absorption that has led to rampant violence and a lack of empathy. We cry out to you so that you would help the church to do those very things you would have us do. Make us bold to preach law and gospel, and even bolder to love our neighbors. Equip us with civility and patience, and grant that this nation return to honor you in both word and deed. In Christ's holy name, we ask all of these things. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard the Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory. In your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 556, stanzas 6 through 10. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Hymn 556, stanzas 6 through 10 in the Lutheran Service Book.
seated. As Mrs. Rage comes forward for Zion's track team, please remember the special voters meeting announced for not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that.
Good morning. Zion Lutheran School sent two athletes to the Lutheran State track meet at Concordia River Forest this weekend. Cooper Keeler ran yesterday. He did hurdles and triple jump. And Addison Campbell ran hurdles yesterday and qualified for the finals that will be run later this morning. The teachers at Zion Lutheran School have decided to put together a celebration gathering for both of those athletes later today out at Zion Lutheran School. We expect the Campbell should be in a little bit after 3 o'clock, so we are inviting our church and our school families to join us out at Zion Lutheran School around 3 o'clock today, and we'll honk our horns and have posters and celebrate both Cooper and Addison when they arrive to the school. Both of their parents know, or all of their parents know what's going on, but the athletes don't. So we just want to celebrate for them. I mean, state's a big deal for any athlete, and we're really proud that we're able to represent Zion Lutheran School at our Lutheran State meet. So please, if it works for you, join us out at school around 3 o'clock. We will be posting on the Zion Lutheran School Facebook page if there's been any delays or anything else, so you can stay in tune there, or call me or send me a text this afternoon, and I can let you know, too. But right now, our plan is be there around 3, and they will hopefully arrive a little bit after that. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, sir. Next Sunday? Next Sunday. Between services. So I looked at my days wrong. Okay, next Sunday in between services for the special voters meeting. And may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.